Next on our agenda is item M. We're back in session. Item
There we go.
The budget's overview of fund types supporting the judicial branch. This is not an action item. I heard there are no materials. Is that right?
Good afternoon. We did hand out some PowerPoint as well as some other materials.
Thank you. We all have the handouts. And so I'll have welcome Zlatko Theodorovic and also Stephen Chang.
We're going to actually have Colin Simpson help me out. He is a little more knowledgeable than I am on some of these particulars, and Stephen's up getting other work, so if that's okay, we change the presenters. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here to answer a call for information and education. What I've come to learn in my 8 months here is that there's a need to remind and inform folks who already know and those who don't know how the budget works for the branch. And in this particular discussion today, I'd like to discuss the all the different funding sources that come into the branch, where they come from, what they're used for, and give you a little history of their expenditures. I don't know if you're aware of it, but there are 16 different funding sources that come into the branch. Most are familiar with the general fund, improvement fund, mod fund, but we have 16 distinct funding sources, and that's not even including the local revenues that are available and generated at the trial court level. So I wanted to, like I said, go through the fund history, some of the statutory authorities. And the statutory authorities, I'm not going to go through those in detail. What we did provide was out of the Department of Finance Uniform Codes Manual is a description of every fund that the branch receives. And so if you're interested in looking at the statutory framework, there's a brief description and information about who administers the fund. So when there was ever a question about a fund, we knew that we could go to this Department of Finance webpage and we could get all the information about the fund. So we wanted to make sure this was a resource that was available to all of you and the council when we discuss these going forward. So I'll start with the first most important fund, the general fund. Clearly, it's a it's been declining to us as a branch, but it primarily comes from personal income tax, corporate tax, sales tax, and it funds all aspects of the branch's operations. As you can see in the slide, it's been a declining funding source for us. And the red bars indicate some of the budgetary tricks that have been done at the state level where they've used local revenues to offset our general fund costs. But in total, the total bars show what we've been spending. And from 10-11, we were at approximately $2 billion. Now we're down to about $1.3 billion all told. So it's been quite a precipitous decline in the last several years. The next is the motor vehicle account. It's a small appropriation. It's not administered by the branch, and we get about $200,000 annually for the AOC to provide traffic citation forms, bail and penalty schedules. So it's a small program, but again, it's one of these funding sources that's outside the branch, and it does provide a bit of revenue for us to perform a specific activity. And we can go on. The Federal Trust Fund does provide resources throughout the branch, the AOC, Courts of Appeal, HCRC. About $1 million does fund the HCRC operations. Other programs such as access to visitation are funded out of the Federal Trust Fund. And its current authorized level is about $6.8 million, but that's what our authority is. It doesn't mean that we necessarily collect and expend that level of funds. So you can see there's a difference between the 10-11 and the 11-12-12-13 numbers is because we have some what's called excess authority. The budget has provided us a certain sort of maximum spending ability, but it's all based on what kinds of federal trust funds we can actually get, what we actually spend. So there's a difference. And authority can be good because it provides you some flexibility, but there's times where it can look like you're spending more than you really have when you're going into a budget. And I'll point that out in a later fund. We get about $1 million from the Mental Health Services Fund, as that was part of the proposition to raise funds for overall statewide mental health improvement, a tax on $1 million earners. We do get a small amount of about $1 million that's spent in CFCC for these types of activities. You can see that's been a fairly stable funding source at about $1 million year over year. Now, these funds so far do not have what are called fund balance for us. They are merely direct appropriations to the branch. They're not administered and managed by us. We don't collect the revenue. We just merely get an allocation and appropriation out of the funds. So you'll just see the actual operations level and or expenditure level. Now, one that you might be a bit more familiar with is a court interpreter's fund. You know, it's funds provided to the AOC to establish testing standards, procedures for local review of certified interpreters, standards for interpretation, interpreter qualifications. And then we'll go to the next slide and you can see what I mean when we have it. This is one of our funds. So it's administered by the branch. We have a fund balance, as you can see in the green line. We have our own revenue stream and the expenditures. And it's a small amount that's spent at this point, $164,000 in 12-13. A small amount, but again, it's just part of this varied funding sources that the branch gets and that the AOC is spending for this effort. Next, the Family Law Trust Fund. As you can see that... The trust fund is used to administer mandatory mediation and contested custody and visitation matters and other family law-related activities. That, again, is a fund that is managed by us. And let me just explain to you this issue of authority and how it shows in this particular chart. Every piece of data that we've provided to you is from the governor's budget. It is something that you can trace back. You can open the governor's budget, and you'd be able to see a published, verifiable document. Well, 1213 is a budget amount. It's what we have in terms of authority. And in this particular case, the program manages to the revenues that are actually received. And so they are projecting in 1112 about $1.9 million rather than the $2.8 million that is shown as budgeted. It's again a matter of what you might have authority for. If revenues were to come in excess of what we expected, then we would have some ability to spend those funds. But we, as good stewards of the fund, we manage within the revenues that we can actually we actually receive. And as you can see, the revenue has been fairly flat around the $2 million level. Next is the Appellate Court Trust Fund that, as its name implies, funds appellate courts and the courts of the Supreme Court, their operations. It's one of their funding sources. They're primarily a general fund operation, but they do have a small amount of this trust fund. And then recently they did get a fee increase that went along with the legislation associated with the L.A. Coliseum issue and the CEQA reviews. So there is a little bit of increase. The expenditures are in the $4 million range, but the appellate courts are about $200 million, so it's a small aspect of their overall budget. But it is one particular area where they have specific fees that they collect and expend. Court Facilities Trust Fund is what comes from the county facility payments that came with the transfer of the facilities to the branch, and they fund the operations, repair, and maintenance of court facilities. The funds are at the about approximately $100 million level, and we spend essentially what we do get in that particular fund. As you can see at the very, very bottom, we keep a minimal fund balance as we are expending those funds on necessary court maintenance and operations. You're familiar with the Judicial Branch Workers' Compensation Fund. It is, as necessary, 56 courts participate in that program, as well as other judicial branch entities. There's a fund balance in order to ensure that we have sufficient resources to pay our claims. 10-11 past year claims were approximately $17 million, so we do have a healthy fund balance in that fund. Next is a small appropriation that the branch received when significant corrections legislation was implemented several years ago in an effort to reduce the failure of felony probation failures. There was a community corrections performance incentive fund in which when a county reduces the number of felony probation failures, they're able to generate some level of savings from the state. And so we get a small portion of about $615,000 to administer that program, provide training to counties, and work with the Department of Finance to verify the data. So, again, a small piece of a large program, important to the overall state programs. State Court Facilities Construction Fund. We're all familiar with this particular fund. I think what we'd like to go on is to is the next slide that shows how its expenditures, though flat, and its fund balance have participated in benefiting the branch in terms of its reductions. You can see that there was a transfer, and so the fund balance did take a large reduction in 11-12. So that'll be indicative of the next few slides in which we see fund balances at our large, and then they're dwindling as we've been taking them to address our shortfalls. The immediate and critical needs account, again, was one with a large fund balance, and it was swept, and funds were taken out of the fund to help both the state general fund problem as well as our branch need to address the budget reductions. But we have very large increases in expenditures in 12-13 of approximately $300 million because we're starting to ramp up our debt service payments in our capital program. Now, Colin is going to go through this slide to explain to you the flow of funds for the trial court so you understand all the different fees and funds that are part of trial court funding.
Good afternoon. There are three primary sources of funding. This is rather uncomfortable. There are three primary sources of funding to the three trial court special funds. They are court users, the counties, and the state general fund. As relates to the trial court improvement fund, the primary sources of funding are the 50-50 revenue split, which relates to specific criminal fines, fees, and forfeitures that are deposited in the county treasury, and a certain and revenues that exceed the level of 1997-98 amounts must be split 50% with the state. Okay, thanks. That makes it easier. For the trial court trust fund, the primary sources of revenue come from both court users and counties. Approximately $658 million come from maintenance of effort payments from the counties, as well as additional monies coming from the court users in the form of fees, fines, and assessments, as well as other miscellaneous revenues. The trial court trust fund also receives monies in the amount of roughly $890 million in fiscal year 11-12 from the general fund. The state general fund also funds the modernization fund in the amount of $18.7 million. From there, monies flow to the trial for to trial court operations. Roughly $2.04 billion flow from the trial court trust fund, as well as another $50.1 million from the general fund. In addition, there is a small amount of funds that flow directly to the courts from the trial court improvement fund and mod fund, modernization fund.
So next we're going to focus on the trial court trust fund and give you a flavor for the level of revenues and expenditures that we have from the trust fund. And what I'll note is that a number of these funds that we'll be discussing fund trial court operations as well as trial court operations that are performed at the AOC. So there will be some small amounts of these funds funding programs at the AOC as well. So we have estimated resources here. This is all the revenues and funding sources coming in. As I said, this you can tie to the governor's budget. The only adjustment that I would make is the second of the bottom line of the almost $92 million was a prior year adjustment, a technical adjustment. But you could find these numbers again in the governor's budget. And as you can see, it ties to the flow chart that Colin did go through in terms of funds flowing into the TCTF. I'll have Colin now talk about the expenditures because I know folks are very interested in how you sort of reconcile what it is that's the governor's or the appropriation level in the budget and how the funds get distributed throughout the branch.
For the trial court trust fund, we've listed the expenditures in order of the amount of the expenditures. The beginning amount reflects the baseline amounts that are already allocated to the courts, excluding the share of security reduction, which was actually applied during the current fiscal year. In addition, we have judicial compensation, reimbursement to the trial courts, which includes such programs as the court interpreter program and the court-appointed counsel program, fee revenues, including civil assessment revenues, automated record-keeping and micrographics revenues, children's waiting room, fees returned dollar for dollar, as well as some expenditures this year only related to sheriff security, as well as other expenditures. Those other expenditures include CCMS, Phoenix, as well as Program 4555 local assistance grants. And then to end the list is assigned judges, and then the other allocations and charges to trial courts. The other allocations include the net reduction of $42 million that was allocated to the courts, as well as charges related to the judicial branch workers' compensation fund.
So this slide is important because it does show that we can break down all of the spending that happens annually in the trust fund. And the point here also is that the trust fund has also excess appropriation authority. There is, let's say that the Budget Act says that we are appropriated $3 billion out of the trust fund. We only have cash to actually fund those levels of, say, $2.9 billion. So there's a gap. And that's okay, because if to the extent that we had revenues increase and we bump up above that $2.9 million, we still have then authority to spend that money. And also, we do have flexibility in our budget so that if we actually exceed that $3 billion, that we can go to the Department of Finance and the legislature and request that they increase that authority. But so for someone to look at the actual Budget Act and see that we, say, have a $3 billion trust fund budget, we don't have that full amount of money to spend. So there's an amount less than that. And then you can break down the actual allocation of the cash that we have against the allocations and all these other spending that Colin just discussed. But I think that's an important point when folks say, well, we should allocate all the funds. Well, there's not enough cash to even match the Budget Act appropriation. So as you can see, the trust fund has had some declines, primarily because of the sheriff's allocation of $500 million going away, reducing the trust fund expenditures. But we are keeping in line our revenues and expenditures and still maintaining some level of fund balance, which Colin can discuss the method by which we have a declining fund balance.
The most significant factor related to our declining fund balance is the use of the trial court trust fund to offset reductions to the trial courts. However, as you may notice in 11-12 and 12-13, we do see small growth in that fund balance. In 11-12, mostly that's related to a prior year adjustment. And 12-13, that's actually related to a reduced level of expenditures that would relate to CCMS. And when I say that, I mean both funds that were redirected for CCMS in this year of $66.4 million, as well as the monies that were allocated to CCMS of another $34.5.
Can I just quickly discuss the improvement fund? We know that there has multiple funding sources, and the trial courts and the AOC do receive some funds from the improvement fund. And it's something that has been used for budgetary solutions in the past. And we'll have Colin discuss the resources coming into the improvement fund.
So the primary resources, as I mentioned before, are, one, the 50-50 revenue split, which was previously discussed, as well as the 1% transfer from the trial court trust fund, which is based on the program 4510 appropriation, as well as the 2% automation monies. These are monies that are 2% of all the fine, fee, and forfeiture monies related to criminal cases, and these must be used exclusively to pay the costs of automated systems for the trial courts. In addition, we have other revenues. This is mostly jury instruction royalties and interest, as well as a transfer from the fund as required by statute. And for TCIF estimated expenditures, we have basically three categories. However, we've split one of them into two distinct items. For statewide programs, there is a statewide administrative and technology element, as well as other statewide programs. For the statewide administrative infrastructure, that includes expenditures related to the CCTC, California Courts Technology Center, Interim CMS, the Judicial Branch Enterprise Licensing Program, as well as Phoenix. For statewide programs, that includes such things as Domestic Violence Family Law Interpreter Program, as well as self-help. And in the urgent needs, we assume full expenditure of the urgent needs monies, as the Judicial Council directed that any of these monies that are not spent this current year would be rolled over into the subsequent year. And lastly is the trial court programs, which is primarily the workers' compensation reserve.
And so it's important to note is that we see that expenditures have declined quite a bit from 8-9 and stabilized as we've gotten into 10-11, 11-12, and 12-13. This, as well as the mod fund, which we'll speak to next, have been also part of budgetary solutions and are important funds to the branch. And any discussions about how those funds will be used as far as budget solutions going forward, there's, as Colin mentioned, a number of very important programs that are funded out of the improvement fund. The mod fund, again, is another important fund for the branch, providing funds for education, technology, and so we do have about $21 million of resources coming into the fund. It's a direct general fund transfer, so it's not a a revenue that comes from fines and fees, but it's an actual general fund transfer, which has not been touched by the Department of Finance or the legislature, but we have used it as a means to address our budgetary shortfalls.
Regarding the
modernization fund expenditures, there are three categories for this. The statewide technology projects primarily is made up of the telecommunications support and data integration programs, as well as some expenditures related to Phoenix. For the other programs, this is primarily the court administrative and this is primarily the complex civil litigation program is the most significant source of funding. And then in the other, the education development programs, these are court administration and judicial education programs.
Yeah, and the next slide shows that we did take part of the mod fund, about $20 million, to address our shortfall this last fiscal year. So that means that there was a long process of evaluation by the Trial Court Budget Working Group in looking at all the various programs that are funded out of the mod fund and the improvement fund. And so you can see on the next slide the $21 million of reductions that were painfully taken by the Budget Working Group as they recommended it to the council. I think what we're trying to say here in terms of doing this presentation is that there are a lot of tough decisions in making the budget work coming up this year, and we think that it's important that you get an understanding now of what are all the funds, where do they go, to what extent the fund balances have declined. The next slide will show that we have, as a branch, had pretty precipitous decline in our fund balance since that we have been using them to take funds out of to bolster our court operations. The funds have been declining, and so the options become more narrow. The decisions, nonetheless, are very difficult in terms of all the programs that we have to evaluate before we decide to fund or not fund them. Like I said in the beginning, the 16 funds make up a number of a large part of the overall court operations funds, but there are local revenues that do not flow through the state that do assist trial courts in meeting their constitutional obligation. And with that, I think I'll conclude with just to remind you of the sort of scope that these funds have provided in terms of budgetary relief over the past several years. $620 million of reductions, offsets from all these funds have been taken action upon by the council to address the shortfalls. And they are becoming more difficult and smaller. The base from which these kinds of decisions could be made are narrowing, and so we have to just make an informed decision. And so that was the whole intent today, was to educate and inform so that you can think about this now rather than waiting until July to hear the report from the Budget Working Group about what the decisions are to balance the budget. So with that, if there are any questions, please feel free.
Judge Rosenberg?
Just a technical question, and thank you for that informative report. You said we in this branch derive funds from 16 funds?
There's 16 appropriations.
That confused me, because as I counted up the number of funds that are identified on this chart, there are 17, and the funds identified in the presentation, there were 15. So which is it?
Oh, yes, my fault. There's a reimbursement is one more where we do receive funds passed through from other state agencies, primarily the 1058 funding, $54 million for that. There's approximately $4.6 million for drug courts, and then $30.5 million that the Judicial Branch Facilities Program receives for costs of performing services by the four courts, either paid by the counties or the courts.
So if I were to use this packet that identifies, it's just pages from the Manual of State Funds, there are 17 funds identified. Is that the packet that I should be using?
Yeah, and in fact, there's one, there's two that are not, we do get, we have no appropriation authority and no expenditures out of, but I wanted to be as inclusive as possible to let you know that there's still a couple of small funds like the revolving fund for, so that would be the exhaustive list.
And they're included in here, yeah. Like that architectural revolving fund. Yeah. It's included even though we get no money.
Yeah, because I didn't want, I wanted, you know, every page that the branch has anything that it touches, either directly or indirectly, you have the statutory framework. You know, heaven help us if you all look at the government code for all of those, but if you'd like, they're there for you to look at.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Yes, Alan Carlson.
Looking at a couple slides past the chart where the money flows, it says 2011-12 Trial Court Trust Fund estimated resources.
Page, Alan?
15. So basically this is, so if somebody said, well, how much money do you get in fees? How much of your trial court supported by fees? That would be the $734 million. The second one.
Yeah.
And how much is pure general fund, not otherwise dealt, I mean, whatever tax money goes into the general fund, they're giving us $888 million, $889 million. So we're getting more pure general fund money than we anything else, but it's not even half.
Right, and I believe that that used to be a much greater percentage. And clearly because there are some of our budget solutions are not reflected here because we've increased our fees and revenues. So while general fund has declined, so it's been a combination of fee revenue increases as well as our internal redirections that have basically really filled the gap of the $650 million over the last 4 years.
And the expenditure MOEs, that's what the counties used to spend on trial courts back before we shifted, sort of.
Yeah, their maintenance of effort.
And I think some of that they got credit on some stuff, so that's not the full amount.
And I would defer to you on that history. So,
all right,
yeah,
okay.
And if you have any questions that you can't think of now that you will have, you know, over time, please feel free to email me, and we will get to you right away.
Any further questions? This has been very helpful. I think it helps to clarify all of the discussions we have out there about branch expenditures, branch funds, and then what the Judicial Council has done over the last 4 years in terms of trying to meet the needs. And most recently, 2011, when you show that breakdown of the $20 million taken from the MOD fund,
mm-hmm.
and the efforts that were made to go through all of those programs,
right.
to decide where would be the least harmful place to take that money has been very helpful. And that concludes your presentation.
Yep.
Thank you. That concludes our business meeting for February of the Judicial Council. Two things, as is our norm. I do like to conclude our meeting with a few brief remembrances of our judicial colleagues who are recently deceased. They are Judge Russell Schooling and Judge Carl Jaeger, J-A-E-G-E-R. I understand both judges were retired, and they both served in the Superior Court of Los Angeles County. We honor them, not only for their service to the courts, but also to the cause of justice. Yes.
I wanted to mention that this week, a former Marin County judge also passed. Okay. Judge William T. McGivern died earlier this week. He served our court back in starting in 1998 through 2006 and died after a short illness.
Thank you, Kim. We appreciate you bringing Judge McGivern's death to our attention.
There was another passing that we just heard. Judge in Santa Clara County, Ralph Brogdon, passed away last evening.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you, David. I'm sorry to hear that.
And one final one, a real legend in Lynn Buck Compton passed away at age 90.
We express our remorse and our feelings go out to the families and the survivors. We add them to our list. We thank them. Before we conclude, I also want to remind council that our next meeting is a special session. You should have received notice. It's on March 27th. It is a day devoted to branch technology and CCMS. The materials for that meeting are being prepared. They're not available. They will be distributed as soon as they are available. It is contingent upon receipt of the Grant Thornton independent report. We have it on reliable authority that will be coming in time for us to be able to provide that report and any materials necessary for you to understand the history of CCMS and the branch in time for us to have a thorough public discussion. Thank you for your time here. Appreciate that. Safe travels. And Nancy will announce transportation connections.